This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting from sunny Florida. Boy, great weather, I have to say. I know not everybody in the country is dealing with fabulous weather, but you know how it is. Mother Nature will throw her curveballs the way of Florida eventually. All right, over the weekend, a lot of crazy things happened, sad things. Once again, I say this all the time, why can't we go to church, go to school, shop, go to a movie without fear of somebody who is mad crazy with some rambling manifesto coming in and shooting people? There are more details that keep coming out of this, but there was a Buffalo shooting that killed 10 that was racially motivated, a hate crime, that's what's being said right now. An 18-year-old white man entered into a store in Buffalo in what was really a predominantly black neighborhood over the weekend on Saturday. The FBI is investigating this as a hate crime. The supermarket shooter, which is so awful, traveled from hours away. There was a live stream of the shooting that showed him pulling up to the supermarket and saying, just go for it. I mean, it was a military, according to the New York governor, and by everything that I've seen, it's not a stretch to say it was like a military-style execution, targeting people who simply were there at the wrong time buying groceries. Here's the other part of this. So this time, the guy did not off himself. He was arraigned. So the suspect in the supermarket shooting in Buffalo was arraigned Saturday night. It's Peyton Gendron. I hate to even give his name, but he was arraigned in a court, and justice is already being done. I mean, almost immediately. I agree with what the district attorney from Erie County said, John Flynn, to me, when somebody does some barbaric act and then kills themselves, they deny the people who have no closure the right to see his face in court. So they're investigating terrorism charges, other murder charges, all kinds of things. And they're trying they're looking at this as to, again, a hate crime. And it was what the governor says. I mean, these were just people. It was military kind of style execution. They just happened to be on a Saturday in the grocery store when that happened. And it was a sad deal. 2:30 in the afternoon, wearing tactical gear. He shot 4 people in the parking lot. He went inside the store. There was a security guard engaged with him. The suspect shot and killed the guard, then continued. So even there was a guard there, he continued to work his way through the store. There was really a total of about 13 people that were shot, 10 fatally. 4 of the people who were shot were store employees, including that security guard I mentioned. Out of the 13, 11 were black, 2 are white. And the sick, twisted, extra part of this, the whole thing was barbaric, but the fact is that it was live streamed on Twitch, which is a popular live streaming platform. I've talked about it on my show. I did a thing with Michael Irvin, the former Dallas Cowboy, for the Madden game, if you remember, and talked about that. But anyway, this was not used in a positive way, and it's really known for gaming. So here we go. He used this to broadcast the attack, and he left also a rambling manifesto. And when I said he left, he didn't kill himself. So they have the manifesto. It was posted online in connection with this. And, you know, what do you do with this? It's the same drum I keep beating and have been beating for a very long time. And many of you say the same thing. And this is why so many of us, so many people say, what is the best defense against this? Who are the people that could take out a shooter? They had a guard. And the guard couldn't do it. The guard didn't get to do it. He tried to do it. He couldn't do it. And therefore, the other people were left vulnerable. And this was a planned deal. I mean, he traveled from hours away to do this. So it wasn't anywhere near his neighborhood. And you know, that's the other part of this that is just so disheartening. Figuring out where to go, figuring a place, and just driving and targeting people, randomly targeting people, and, you know, in this execution style, you know, shooting. All right, some other things that happened over the weekend are things that people are talking about, you know, the buzz in the backyard. It's always about food. It's always about what are you paying at the pumps. It's always about what's going on with the stock market. If you have a 401k and what's happening in your wallet, what's happening in mine. We just got through taxes, all of that. What's going on in the housing market with the interest rates and what about inflation and how some of us are split about inflation. There's no question that stocks are really losing. They're on a losing skid, the biggest since 2001. So, you know, there you go. The other thing that did occur that I want to bring up, because we got to get some happy note out of what happened over the weekend, and you might have seen this. It's been a while. It hasn't been forever, because I've seen a couple of them, and I remember taking shots of them, and I thought it was just the coolest thing, because I actually remember. But the moon plunging into darkness this weekend created that kind of weird spectacle that hasn't been seen over the sky, over the entire contiguous United States since really the turn of the decade. So that's the difference here. So as the sun set over North America on Sunday, Earth and Moon started to align to create that lunar eclipse. And to see that lunar eclipse, so people staying up later than usual to see that is something. Is it worth it? It's one of the top astronomy events of, you know, 2022. There was also, remember, a partial eclipse over the United States back in 2021. That was when 97% of the moon went dark, but ultimately just fell a little short of being considered a total eclipse. You know, I'm so geeky for this because I can remember when I was a kid talking about eclipses and thinking I was going to go blind, and I had to make this special tube. I know some of you have these. I know you had to do it when you were a kid, and standing out and looking at the eclipse and thinking, am I seeing this in this, you know, kind of elementary style tube that I had that I was looking into, and it was one, it's just, I don't know, it was just a fun memory. And I liked learning about the planets, and I liked the idea of knowing more about the planets. It's just one of those deals. I always thought about getting a telescope, and I've talked about this before. Outside of Marfa, Texas, the McDonald Observatory, one of the best things I've ever done in my life. If you are ever in that part of the country, in Texas, I think it is a jewel. Put it on your list. Go and see it. Go at night. It's incredible. The telescopes they have there, the viewing that you can see, and I mean, it's mind-blowing, the stars. Imagine what they're seeing. Imagine what that's, you know, what that's like. But this time, the fact that it was the full across the United States, that's what the big difference is in all of this. All right, coming up, so many of you, as always, had plenty to say about what's going on with Russia and Finland cutting the electric supply and Zelensky calling for the recognition of Russia as a terrorist state. So we're going to get to your thoughts coming up in the mailbag next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer, they're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, welcome to the mailbag. This is Jake, who listens to us on KCAA, woohoo, in Southern California. He says he's from Riverside, and he gets the station, gets the show, really enjoys it. Thanks for that. And then says this, Kate, I think it's atrocious, and that's not even a strong enough word. I think the guy is a you-know-what, begins with a B, ends with a D, who went into that market and killed all of those people and then had the nerve to live stream it, or the cojones to live stream it in your face, shooting at just 18. What possesses an 18-year-old white dude to go into a neighborhood that he has no business being in because he's hours away and happens upon that neighborhood, plans it out, goes in, says what he's going to do, and then executes those poor people? I feel so sorry for those families. I think that everybody should be more aware of their surroundings. And I'll tell you what, I understand now more why there is the whole movement of Black Lives Matters. I don't want to pretend as a white man I can completely relate to it. That would be false, but it makes my heart very, very sad. Thanks for that. I agree. I can't even add to that. It makes my heart sad, too. I mean, why? Innocent people. Didn't do anything to him. Nothing. What is going on in that guy's head, that kid's head, that he cuts those lives short? That all those people are just doing a job, working at a supermarket. Wow. And they, you know, nail him. Just that's it. I mean, they just got to nail him to the wall. And that's what's going to happen. But it does not bring back those people. It just doesn't bring it back. Joe says, wow, Russia, Russia, Russia. Come on, how long is this going to go on? And it is affecting all of us. Trust me, anybody who's listening to this show, don't think that we're not in this. We are in a much different way. Economically, this is a crusher in different ways for all of us. I agree with the president of Ukraine when he says that it should be recognized, Russia, as a terrorist state. I mean, look, he met with McConnell and other in the Senate, and I think he was right to say that. And at least we're sending people, or at least we have delegations going. You know, you talked about the Prime Minister of England going, and I think it's about time the U.S. showed their face. So bravo for that. But how much will it actually do? And how crazy nutty is Putin that we should all be scared as hell that he's going to press the proverbial button and we're all going to be annihilated anyway? Well, first of all, yes, Zelensky met with McConnell. He met, it was an unannounced trip. He met with Republican Senator Susan Collins from Maine, John Barrasso from Wyoming, John Cornyn from Texas. And they're the first senators to visit Ukraine since Russia invaded Eastern Europe, of course, in February. And the Kentucky senator, longtime Senator McConnell, he reaffirmed to Zelensky that the U.S. is behind Ukraine and is going to do whatever they can support-wise until Ukraine wins the war, is what he said, and said that it's also important that America, essential, that America not stand alone, and said that it's in our national interest to help Ukraine achieve a victory in the war and to help Ukraine and other countries deter wars of aggression before they start. I mean, that all sounds good. I agree with that. Deter a war of aggression. We didn't do anything to stop this war of aggression. We kept watching the parked tanks. We kept talking about how many shows that I'd say that. Okay, look, here's the intel that's out there. Here's what I know. Here's what maybe some of you know. Look, this is what we're seeing. And to think that, I guess, the Putin was just going to play cat and mouse, but he wasn't playing cat and mouse. He wanted to go to Kyiv and blow it up. He wanted to take out Zelensky. He wanted to take out that regime and plant his flag. That's what he wanted to do. And it didn't happen. So now what? What does that mean? So it was good. I mean, I think it was good that they went, but where do we go from here? How long does this go on? And of course, they're getting weapons. They're getting support in different ways. Congress is in the process of trying to pass, a $40 billion aid bill that would provide Ukraine with military and humanitarian assistance. So I think it's good to do the whole face-showing thing. But now it's, you know, pass that bill this week. We should give them aid, and let's see where the story goes. All right, we move on to another one. This one's from Walter. I love that name, Walter. I had an Uncle Walter, and he had a very deep voice. I like Uncle Walter. Anyway, they're neither here nor there, by the way. Walter says, "Hey, Kate, I'm looking at the water crisis, and you've talked about that a bunch. I have family. I have two daughters that live in Southern California, and they're talking about some of the restrictions and what's happening there, and it's pretty scary. And the Colorado River, where my wife and I live, we live in Colorado, it's just so sad. I mean, you look at the stretch from where we're pretty close to the Rocky Mountains, and there's like 40 million people in seven states that need this water. And then you think of, you know, not just drinking water, we're talking about ag land, we're talking about plants, we're talking about birds, we're talking about fish, we're talking about, you know, what is beautiful. And now we have cracked earth. And you look at Lake Mead, you talked about living near Lake Mead and how it was so different when you were there, and you can't even imagine because you were there when it was extremely high, and now they find two dead bodies, even rotting corpses, because it's the water's been sucked away. And with this mega drought and the temperatures that keep rising, look out when you talk about what happens with electricity. People forget about that. It's not just drinking water, people. It's, like I said, ag, so farming. It impacts a lot of what you take maybe even for granted. And it's a very, very dry landscape. Very, very dry. And it's scary to see this. This was not the Colorado River that I remember. And seeing the little trickle, it really does take your breath away. And then because of my daughters, like I mentioned, I'm particularly worried about them and my grandchildren. And then what are they going to grow up with? And where do you go? Where do you go for this water? Yeah, good question. And, you know, there are a lot of, Walter, there are, you know this already, there's a lot of eyeballs on this, but what does that mean? You know, look at the livelihoods, the businesses that are shutting down because of low water. I mean, think about anybody with any kind of a fishing business, forget it. And then you think of, like, I think of even bigger cities. So let's not even go to Southern California, which is getting crushed. How about just even Denver? They get half of their water. I've told this story before, but they get about half of their water, give or take, from Denver, from Colorado, which makes sense. And as tributaries, they took less than it was entitled, what they were entitled to from headwater creeks. They're trying to raise and do something with the waters in Colorado and a main tributary. The city said it could do it because of a wet spring, and so that reduced demand among the users, but it made it clear that they're going to have to be less flexible in the future. And, you know, so again, you're relying on rain dances. Seriously, what do we do besides pray for rain? And then look at other ways to move water from one place to another. And it is frightening. The whole West and all those states that rely on it, on the Colorado River. I think about that, and Lake Mead is a great example of what happened at Lake Mead and what they're seeing. Yikes. Kathy says coronavirus. Kate, I hate the word. I love it when you do a show and you barely mention coronavirus. Not because I'm ignorant, not because I want to put my head in the sand, because I'm just damn sick of hearing about it. We're never going to not live with some form of this virus. It's just a question of how many of them these variants are going to be killers, and how many it's just going to make us sick as crap, and there's going to be a lot we still don't know about the virus. I mean, look at this BA2 and how it's spreading not just in the United States but around the world. So now there's going to be more mask mandates, whether we like it or not. People can fight about masks, and right now it may be up to you as to what you decide to do, but there's going to be more mask mandates. I don't think you have to be a genius to realize that, depending on where you live. You say that all the time. And how high the rates are, that's what's going to start to happen. You know, absolutely. So what do you do? I mean, if your favorite bar or restaurants get stuck in these situations, which it crushed so many people's businesses, etc., we know that. We know the other side of this. But the lifting of the mask mandates, and then if you're getting clobbered by it, there's going to be no choice but to make some sort of move. Or maybe there is a choice, but do we really want to get any form of the virus, and do we want to get knocked out by it? And the answer to that is none of us want to get knocked out by it. We don't. And transportation is the one area to really look for. All right, thanks for all the emails. Kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Send me your thoughts anytime.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The United States is grappling with inflation and record high prices at the pump while still helping out Ukraine as Russia continues to invade the country. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky recently blocked efforts to send an additional $40 billion to Ukraine. Tennessee Republican Senator Bill Hagerty reminds everyone,
we want to see them win, but pumping more aid into that country when we're not taking care of our own country, the best thing that Biden could do is stop the war that he's waged on American industry. That would lower prices overall. That would take the funding away from Putin's war machine against Ukraine. It would make our economy do better here.
Authorities in Buffalo say they're moving quickly to prosecute an 18-year-old man accused of murdering 10 people in a grocery store. Erie County DA John Flynn saying a hearing for the suspect will be held in 5 days. And you're listening to USA Radio News. A nationwide shortage of baby formula has many parents struggling to find food for their infants. Tennessee Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn weighs in on legislation she has introduced with New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez that aims to establish a national database on manufacturing when it comes to supply chains, with the goal of averting future supply chain disruptions.
And this is a part of the manufacturer's extension program. It would put in place a database so that manufacturers know what products, components are available, where they are, where the glitches are in the supply chain, and help our domestic manufacturers do a better job.
New York Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul is calling out flaws in gun control laws between states following Saturday's deadly mass shooting in Buffalo. Hochul saying investigators believe the shooter enhanced an AR-15 rifle legally purchased in New York. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
David Friedman joins us this time around in Author's Corner. And, you know, he's got so many interesting books and publications. A couple of them, The Myth of the Dinosaurs, Alternative History, What If JFK Didn't Die? And, oh, I'm so fascinated by Elvis Presley. And this is the latest, greatest. You know, think of history. Elvis Presley when he died. David, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You and I had a fabulous conversation. We really did, about Elvis Presley. You made me think all kinds of things that day. I was like, wait, maybe this, what if we turned things around and he lived a different life? So tell us, first of all, what it's about and how you came to decide you were going to write this.
Okay. The storyline is pretty straightforward in one sense, which is I took the concept from all of these Elvis is alive conspiracy kind of things that would show up in newspapers and, you know, on the internet. And I said, okay, why don't I take it to a logical conclusion? What if Elvis was alive? And then I wanted to look at whether or not Elvis would be a kind of person who would actually be willing to try and fake his own death. Okay. I started with the premise that Elvis was really sad about what his life had turned into. And from there I said, how would he have to escape? And what would be the pivotal moment, the fulcrum that would get him there? And from there I took it to its natural logical conclusion. I had to put him in a place where he would be able to escape his life and be completely hidden away and be actually able to live a life that he really wanted to live, which was to be an ordinary Joe. And so I take that story and I say, how do I flip that around? And one of the only ways that I could think of that he could do that is if he disappeared into something like the Amish or into, you know, some other kind of religious group that was kind of like sequestered from the rest of the world. And so I took that concept and I said, well, Elvis has a historical line through his mother where he was Jewish. And by, at least by Jewish standards, he's Jewish. And, you know, we're a matrilineal, religion. So I took it all the way back to his great, great, great grandmother, Nancy Burdine, who came to the United States in, from Lithuania, I think it is in 1801 or something like that. And then I created a storyline that goes, through there. I also take another line, and I take that line from his European side, which did not actually come over, and I meld those two stories together, and I do a historical run-up to Elvis's life. The European side of the story becomes really important because it goes into a Holocaust story in which one of the people that he ends up meeting in a Las Vegas hotel pulls him aside and says, your relative was responsible for my family dying. And that is the fulcrum that gets Elvis into deciding that this is it. I'm done. I have a real reason to leave this life. I have spirituality that I can't seem to manage to explore. And he goes back to this rabbi that he had grown up with in the apartment building that he lived in Memphis. He lived either below or above. I'm not real sure, to be honest with you. And I take it from there, and he goes back and visits that rabbi, and they come up with a plan to get him out of Graceland and get him up into Brooklyn, where he becomes a cantor, an Orthodox Jew, and lives for 35 years with his wife, thinking that she doesn't even know that he is Elvis Presley. That's the story in its bottom line.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, wow.
Right. So he gets discovered, though, quite by accident, because he moved, his next-door neighbor, who's a New York Daily News hotshot reporter, you know, and he's predicated on being like a Mike Francesa or a Pete Hamill type of guy, and he's gardening next door, to be honest with you, and Elvis is sitting in front of his porch, and he's listening to an Elvis tape, and Elvis starts singing along with him, and Stanley, the reporter, puts A and B together and realizes that he is, in fact, Elvis Presley. Now comes the real problem for him, which is, what do I do? And first of all, what if he's not? And then if he is, I got a great story, but what do I do with it? So he confronts Elvis. Elvis admits it. Elvis says, okay, please don't tell this story until I'm dead, because this will upset the whole apple cart. I've got, you know, children and grandchildren, and I have a whole new life with my wife. And Stanley goes, what are you, crazy? This is the biggest story that ever hit, you know, my desk. And Elvis says to him, no, I'm going to die. I'm dying of pancreatic cancer. I maybe have 3-4 months to live. I'll give you the whole story. Just hold on to it till afterwards. And Stanley agrees. And Stanley then enters into a series of conversations with him where Elvis explains the Elvis side of the story all the way through. And at the very end of that story, Stanley comes up with this idea of maybe Elvis would like one last shot at being in the public view. maybe he really, after 35 years, maybe still there's this little seed inside of him that really wants one last shot. And Elvis already is very old and he's very sick. And he says to Elvis, in essence, what would happen if you had, you know, like one last shot? Did it ever occur to you that you maybe, would you do it even? And Elvis in laughing says, what are you kidding? You know, we're two old men here just talking about this. It's a nonsensical thought. I gave it up 35 years ago. And Stanley being very, you know, being a reporter and knowing everybody, arranges for him to be the last act at the Grammys at Madison Square Garden. And the last act meaning that, you know, at the end of the Grammy show, they generally have these super bands where all they get together and they do a bunch of songs at the end. And then when the super bands are all finished, they stop and they say, we have one more guest. And Elvis comes out onto the stage. He looks like an Orthodox Jew with the fringes and the yarmulke, and he's walking with a walker, and he walks across the stage. No one knows who he is. He gets onto a stool. They hand him a guitar, and he starts to sing. And now everybody knows that something weird is happening. And then all of a sudden he gets all this energy and he jumps up and he starts singing, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog," and you know, whatever. And it's an amazing transformation. He has all this life. He's energy. He's strutting around the stage. And Elvis is obviously Elvis, and the band members all come forward and they start singing with him, and the press comes running up and they're taking pictures, and he does four songs and then the lights go out and Elvis is done, and you hear the typical Elvis has left the building, and Elvis and his wife escape into some van in the basement of a Madison Square Garden, and they go upstate and to a motel, and Elvis passes away for real.
Wow. What an incredible imagination you have. We have a couple minutes left, but why do you think we're so fascinated by Elvis Presley?
Well, because he was bigger than life.
Yeah.
I know for myself that even though I was not a big Elvis fan, I loved his music. And when he passed away, I was driving on the highway and I actually had to pull over. It was an upsetting moment in time. And the fascination with him was because here's all his talent. And I think we have the same thing. You know, we look at things at all these great people who suddenly pass away very early in their life. And we say, what could have been? And I think what could have been for Elvis would have been total destruction if he had continued down this path. So I wanted to bring him into another path, the path of not self, total self destruction, but the path of happiness, all the things that he really wanted, and he gets the best of both worlds in the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. If people want to find out more about you, David, where can they go and find out all these great things that you're working on?
Well, they can go to my author's page on Facebook, where I have my two books right now posted on there. And the book is available on Amazon and in Barnes & Noble, and it will be a audiobook on Audible very shortly. And it's in Publishers Weekly, and there's going to be hopefully a lot more exposure for it.
I love it. David Friedman, it's always a delight to talk to you. Wow, my mind is still just playing back that story of Elvis at Madison Square Garden. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay, like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages, or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
With us. His book is called Gray Feathers, Led by Love of Country. Wait till you hear his story. Daniel, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. I'm glad to talk to you.
Let's talk about what Gray Feathers is all about. Take us back to the late 60s and where you were.
I had the fortunate or unfortunate experience of being assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 12th Infantry, and the 4th Infantry Division. And the battalion was stationed in the Pleiku Anke area, which is right at the tri-border area of Vietnam. It's a border of Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. It was an area where the infiltration routes of the NVA lined up to Highway 19, which was the main supply route toward Quy Nhon. Many operations were in that area. It was a very difficult area to go through. Is heavy vegetation, heavy jungle area, in a mountainous region.
Yeah, so you were there with machetes, just having to every day hack away to where you were going, right?
We had to use machetes a number of times, yes.
Wow. And you and I talked about this, which, I mean, I want the listeners to really think about this every day when you got up. I mean, obviously, you were in the middle of war. You know, who knew it was going to happen every single day? And in that group, weren't you, like, second in line because you were the guy that really knew the maps?
Well, I always chose to be either number two or number three and have the point person in front of me because it's easier to control. Because going through the mountain, they didn't have GPS back then. It was all through a topographical map. And by using the topographical map, we had to go through around and through hills and stream beds. So it was a very difficult way of traversing the terrain. I was fortunate. I read the map correctly most times. But I did make a few mistakes here and there.
And if you made a few mistakes, what did that mean? I meant enemy fire, maybe.
Our own fire, actually.
Yeah. Whoa.
We had to worry about friendly fire and enemy fire when you make a mistake.
Yeah, no kidding. How close was this unit? I mean, when you're in the middle of it, you were in the thick of it. What were their guys like? What was that like?
You know, people work together in adverse circumstances, and that's what really happened in the war. Because you're always under tense. You always feel the tension. And you can sleep more than 2 hours at a time because you always want to see what's going on. So you have sleep is not really something you do. You sleep out in the open underneath a poncho or what they call a jungle blanket, and you're prepared to get out at a minute's notice. So it's very tense. And those are the problems that you have in your leadership because most days things don't happen. But when it does, it's really a big combat area and a lot of fire that you have to go through when that day comes.
Yeah, and that's one of the things you talk about in your book. It's you show how difficult it can be. You have to make decisions when you're under fire. Even if you're enlisted, whether you're an officer or whatever, it's the pure pressure of being in battle. You got to make the decisions. You got to look at the movements. And you were supporting units like helicopter, gunships, F-4 Phantom pilots, supply transporters. So you also had a big job. You never knew what that was going to be, right?
That's right. You did not know from day to day. And, you know, the greatest thing, though, everybody worked together. We worked as a decision body. We worked in trying to improve our lot with the enemy. I mean, it was a cohesive group that I was a part of.
Yeah. You know, you talked about it in the very beginning. You were talking about this main supply route that was that the field was Highway 19. And the Highway 19 was, paint that picture for us. I mean, look, you could have mines there, right? You could be ambushed at any moment.
Yes, and that's where the French lost all their soldiers at from an ambush on Highway 19. Years before we were in Vietnam. Highway 19 is just a paved road, and it's a very small two-lane road going several miles into the country of Vietnam. And Quy Nhon and Pleiku are the main players between those two cities. We had tanks go down that road. We had mostly our convoys go down that road, but I've been ambushed several times while traveling with a convoy on that road.
Yeah, wow. Crazy. So, Gray Feathers, tell us about the book. What are the kinds of stories and impactful things that you impart about decision-making that we'll learn by reading your book?
Well, part of it is how you react in battle, the kind of tactics and operations that were used, such as blocking forces, having ambush patrols at night, what do the long-range reconnaissance patrol bring to you, what happens when you attack and format, and what kind of things do you do during an attack, what kind of defensive position that you maintain even without cover, because a lot of times you're out in the field and there's no cover around to stop the bullets or stop the shrapnel from coming towards you. So it's a very tense time on each of the battles that I was in. One of the battles I remember is we had a hill where all the enemy were on top of the hill. They were shooting down at us, which is probably the worst position that we could be in. And we decided in my platoon to go up. It was a heavy cliff that we climbed up to get to the top. It surprised the enemy and we were able to capture a number of them before they left. So it was something you always seem to remember, climbing that steep, I don't know, maybe 50 feet. It seemed like a forever when you're climbing something like that. But it did surprise the enemy during that time. And there are other instances where you try to rescue people during the time of contact, and under heavy contact, you try to control the withdrawals and move off the contact site to safety. And that's become very tricky as you go through the contact site.
Yeah, and we're speaking to Daniel DeWald. The name of the book is Gray Feathers, Led by Love of Country. Get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold, as I like to say. So Gray Feathers is significant, the term Gray Feathers, which is why you named the book this. Tell us what Gray Feathers means.
Gray Feathers is an Indian term. When Brays first get into the tribe, they are given a gray feather for becoming just a member. And as they progress through their tribes and accomplish things, colored feathers are given to them. So if you look at the chiefs, you'll see a lot of multiple different colors in their headbands. And basically, I felt that'd be a good theme because you watch each other's back. You make sure that everyone's going to survive, and you make sure that you always try to work for the best for the platoon and for your company to make headway into the war and try to work together. And I think that made us lose less people, although every day it was always because bullets know no name. So yeah. You have to really watch.
For you, what was it like coming back after all of that everyday intense camaraderie, watching each other's back, lack of sleep, making those quick decisions? What was it like when you leave the immersion of that and then come back to the U.S.?
You know, in 2 years, that's how long I was away, you come back to a complete change. People over here were not really used to the war. They had no, they didn't really sacrifice for the war. It was just people over there by newspaper reports. People were protesting the war. It was just different coming back. It didn't seem like people had respect for the uniform when you came back. But it takes a while for you to get your feet back on the ground and survive in a civilian life.
Yeah, I bet. And thank you for your service. What do you hope people take away, Daniel, from reading this book?
I want them to understand the sacrifice that people made to be in the war, the loyalty that they gave to the country, and the strength that the men had to make things happen in the war. It was a difficult war because there wasn't any fronts. You were hit from all sides when you were in the war, and it was difficult to achieve winning. And I think that's the hardest part about the Vietnam War. It's hard to win. And then at the end, we couldn't win over the people, and that's who made their government. So we lost the entire reason we were there. So I think that's the hard part about learning about it. But it's by love of country that we served, and we did our best in our to serve correctly.
Yeah, well, this book is a great book, and it really does take you back, absolutely. And it's Gray Feathers, Led by Love of Country, Daniel DeWald. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Good talking to you.
You too.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.